Okay, welcome to our pre-show. What it's going to be, I don't know. Chef?
Well, you know, Phil, I was in Florida. I don't like coming on your program.
Look, I can't take you guys bellyaching, okay?
Oh, well, pardon me. I don't want to be a bother, Phil.
Phil, this is Rudy. I know you don't want me on your program. I know you don't want to do no ethnic voices any longer. I understand this.
Yeah, you know, Mr. Henry, you know, Dave Oliver used to be a big character of yours. Turn up the volume, Jack, you know?
So, today we have Dr. Ed Elcott. We've had a day to kind of process everything.
Yes.
So what happened? Because I hear something,
nothing good, I can tell you that. I know the Elcott The Next Step program is, you call it behind a paywall, is that it?
Yeah.
I came on here.
And we do have Jerry Boutonniere.
I don't want to talk to him, and I'd rather not talk to one of the overlords. I am here because you posted two things, Phil. You posted the history of Elcott, my history in adult films.
I saw this thing on TV, man. It was a documentary. I'm sure a lot of you have seen it. About this man. He was a public official in Pennsylvania of some kind. And I feel bad that I don't know more about him. Because he committed suicide in public, in front of a room full of people. It might even have been on TV. And they show it in this film. They show this man putting this goddamn thing, either he put it in his mouth or in his under his chin, but he killed himself right there. This after he was giving out envelopes of money. He says, he was resigning. I'm leaving. I'd like to give this to Mrs. So-and-so. Thank you. She came up, took her envelope. And it seemed all very proper and all very formal that he was leaving public service. He was leaving this job. You kind of knew that he wasn't happy. He felt that he'd done all he could, blah, blah, blah. Next thing you know, he pulls out a fucking, might have been a 22. It had a big-ass long barrel on it. Maybe it was, you know, like a 357 Verado. I don't know what the hell it was. I mean, he shot himself, and it was really horrible. I mean, the blood, I think, from his ears, from his mouth. And then he was, as he fell backward against the wall, he stayed in this position for probably a good 10 seconds and then relaxed. Then the body slumped. So you're wondering, was he conscious, or is that just the body, sort of a rigidity that happens automatically? But it was against the wall. And there was the face of this poor man with blood coming out of his mouth, out of his ears. Horrifying. And finally, somebody came over and put a goddamn tablecloth over him. He was sitting there. Everybody was horrified, you know, shocked beyond words and speechless. You know, there were some screams when it first happened. And, you know, and then one man came over and, you know, draped a thing over him. And I believe the name of the movie is something like A Nice Guy, or so, I think it's something like this. What a nice guy, you know. I gotta look up the name of this fucking thing. I was absolutely riveted. I mean, how could you not be? I mean, you got to be able to. I mean, I'm the guy. I sat and I watched the Nick Berg when Al Qaeda cut that boy's head off. I watched all of that because I remember when Kurosawa, and I've told you guys this a million fucking times, and Akira Kurosawa said an artist should never close his eyes. I took him quite literally when he said that, and I understood what he meant by that. If you're gonna be an artist, you have to see this fucking world, man. You've got to see what's in it. You know, you can't avoid it. And so it was a horrifying thing. But this man committing suicide that way and dying that way, boy, that just tugged at my heart, man. I felt so bad for this guy. And you know what? I want to go back and rewatch that movie not because I want to see I want to know what happened to him. Why did he do that? What is his legacy? Does anybody remember him? You know, these public suicide. It's pretty obvious what that is, isn't it? That's someone saying, somewhere, somebody has got to notice that I lived, that I mattered far more importantly than you thought I did. Something like that's what it seems like to me. That they're saying, I had an impact, you know, and nobody seems to see that. I don't know. I mean, that's my guess. And like I said, when Robin Williams died, when he killed himself, you know, I said, I used to say, I kind of went along with a lot of people. I said, oh, people who commit suicide can't handle life. You know, it was very flip, stupid attitude. And now I understand, you know, I've been through deep depression and I totally get it when someone kills himself. It's nothing that I want to do. It's nothing that I'm thinking of doing. It's, you know, because I love life and I've got so many, I still have so many dreams and I still have so many things that I want to do. And I'm, you know, I'm obviously I'm in love, you know, and I still see so much to do in this world. But I understand depression can get to the point where you can't take it any longer. I understand that. I get it. I don't judge people like that. I don't fucking judge them at all. And I remember when my friend Paul killed himself, I've said this, I've mentioned this many times. My friend Carmen said it was like a man on fire diving into a lake of water. Paul's suicide. It was like he was on fire diving into a lake of water. And until people understand that, they'll never fucking, they got no business talking about suicide. Until they understand that that's what it is. Not all. Some of the psychopaths kill themselves because they don't want to be judged by the world. I'm talking about people who kill themselves because of depression. A lot of psychopaths kill themselves in a jail cell, for instance. That is a guy saying, you are not going to judge me. I'll be the final judge of my own life. That's a control freak psychopath. But this poor guy. So I'm going to have to look this movie up. What do you think, Herb? Herb, my name is Ed Elk. Jesus H. Christ. Hey. Dr. Elcott, well, you know, Phil, we're not on the air yet. And the things you say to me, oh, we are on the air. That's me right there. Yes. Well, goody, goody gumdrops. I think people should know the real Ed Elcott. So Elcott talks about the disaster. So I posted a thing on the website, the story of Dr. Ed Elcott, the short version. I think that's what I called it. Is that what I called it? I forget. We'll read that tonight. Yeah. The story of Elcott, the next step, the short version. Ed Elcott, the great-great-grandson of Heavener Elcott. Let me focus. Zoom in. Ed Elcott, the great-great-grandson of Heavener Elcott, whose writings were foundational to the spiritual-religious self-help system that came to be known as Elcott, the Next Step. That is correct, yes. Or ETNS. We call it ETNS as a way of allowing people to immerse as well as marinate. Now, what does that mean? I beg your pardon? What is immerse and marinade? He's you know General Shaw. I know of General Shaw. And your question is, sir, I don't understand half of these terms. Having left school at the age of 20, he made his way to California to try his hand at acting in movies and television. He fell into working in the adult film business, where he coincidentally made the acquaintance of one Madeline Brickhouse, an actor he worked with in adult films and who later became known as Erica Dorton, the principal of a California middle school and a major figure in other episodes of The Phil Hendry Show. Young Ed Elcott, by his description, worked in adult films sporadically and, quote, lived in and ate out of dumpsters for a period of time until it became apparent to him that acting either in the legitimate or pornographic industry wasn't going to be a viable living. He made his way back to Wampanoag, New York, re-enrolled in the university, took some comparative religion classes, reread the nearly incomprehensible scribblings of his distant relative Heavener Elcott, and began work on reconstituting what Heavener Elcott said would be my big thick one, or the basic liturgical text of ETNS. Ed called it the big thick one and turned it over to some golf buddies who'd expressed interest in starting religion as a way of putting to use techniques learned at a sales seminar. Oh, my God. They expressed interest in starting a religion. By this point, Ed had fallen back into abusing drugs and lost touch until he rehabbed 2 years later. The friends had revitalized ETNS with the help of Ed's writings, named themselves overlords, designated Ed as a priesterly, gave him the title of doctor, and set about expanding the reach of ETNS beyond New York State, with Ed being their chief proselytizer. More coming up. Fuck. I'm missing a quote mark.
Ain't that a bitch?
Testing 1, 2, 3. Let's go, baby. Let's go, baby. Oh, that fucking, I hate that song.